Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Monarch Money. Are you saving to reach your financial goals? Reaching those goals isn't just about getting more money, but by managing what you have. And the best way to manage your money? Monarch Money. Monarch Money is a new kind of finance app that's intuitive, powerful, ad-free, and takes the headaches out of budgeting. Try it free when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. Monarch puts all your accounts, investments, transactions, and finances at your fingertips. With a complete view of your finances, you'll gain insights on your spending and find new ways to save. Plus, Monarch lets you customize your dashboard, collaborate with your partner, set custom budgets and goals, and track your progress toward them. See why Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it, and why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch Money the best budgeting app overall. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.
She's a fashion blogger, model, and entrepreneur.
She's amazing.
The latest tips on fashion, beauty, wellness, travel, and her lifestyle. And now, here's the founder and creator of Not Basic Blonde, Olasha.
Hi, loves. Happy New Year. Welcome back to Not Basic Blonde podcast. This is the first episode of 2023, and I can't believe how far Not Basic Blonde podcast has come. And it's all because of your love and support and my incredible guests and the community that I've built. I never even imagined in my life that this podcast will go that far. And when I was starting a podcast, I honestly did not have many expectations at all, but here we are, 4 years later, huge community and huge network of all successful entrepreneurs, my guests, and you guys supporting my podcast and having over 8 million downloads so far. This episode is very informative and it will help you to set goals and gain clarity for the next year. So my guest today is Ken Joslin, and Ken is the CEO of the Ken Joslin Team and Grow Stack Drive brand. Ken is a former pastor turned coach as well as real estate professional. Ken Joslin is a driven leader who has closed over $250 million in real estate transactions. He has planted multiple churches and mentored hundreds. He is passionate about helping business leaders build confidence, gain clarity, and create community. Also, guys, if you're in Atlanta, there will be a huge event that you must attend on January 26th through January 28th, and you will be able to meet and network with so many great leaders and coaches and entrepreneurs, 8-9-figure entrepreneurs. So this event is must have. And I will include all the details in show notes, so make sure to check out the link. So in this episode, my guest and I will be discussing how to create 2023, how to crush limiting beliefs, create winning strategies, and gain clarity. But before we dive in, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review Not Basic Blonde podcast on Apple Podcasts.
Hi, Ken. So glad to have you on Not Basic Blonde podcast. How are you today?
Man, I am doing amazing. I'm honored to be here with you today.
Yeah, thank you so much for being my guest. I'm so excited to dive in and for you to share your expertise with us. And you working with so many successful entrepreneurs, and you're a successful entrepreneur yourself. Please tell us about yourself. How did you start it? And what helped you to achieve success?
Yeah, so I spent the last 30 years, half of that in full-time vocational ministry, pastoring churches, planting churches. The other half in real estate, very successful in real estate. Was a top mortgage broker in the state of Georgia in the mid-2000s. I was the number one wholesale broker several years in a row with Countrywide and SunTrust at the same time. And then from there, back into ministry, from there, back into real estate, where a couple of years ago, I finished seventh out of 3,700 agents. In transactions and volume, and then that's when I began to launch my coaching business. And everything that I've done over the past 25 to 30 years have all been marked by one thing, and that's great relationships. From ministry to business to a couple of my passions are I officiate high school and college basketball. I did that for 20 some odd years, and I umpire high school and college baseball. And even in those two fields that I love to do and I was very passionate about, I had some of the best people in the world around me who trained me and helped me quickly escalate into being in, really, to be honest with you, in a position that most people don't get into as quickly as I did.
That's incredible. And you having all this success, what was the key for you to build great relationships and establish relationships?
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things I talk about a lot, one of my main keynotes that I give is that great leaders want something for people and not from people. They really do have a heart of relationship, and they lean more into relationship than they do transactions, because no one wants to be transacted with. No one wants a relationship where they think, okay, if I do this for you, I know I'm going to get this in return. If I do this or I act this way, this is going to be reciprocated. It really is. And Zig Ziglar says it best. It's my favorite Zig Ziglar quote. If you help enough people get what they want, eventually you'll get what you want. And all of that came from my first big speaking engagement 23 years ago, on stage in front of about 8,800, 9,000 people. And I had to speak behind John Maxwell, which I've done twice in my life. And I'm going to do it again at my conference in a couple weeks. And I had to speak behind John, but I spoke right before one of my mentors. And so we got through, we get done with the day, and my mentor asked me, she said, Ken, can we do lunch tomorrow? And I said, sure, I'd love to do lunch. So I went to lunch the next day, and she asked me this question. She said, Ken, she said, do you want to be significant or do you want to be successful? She said, because those two things are vastly different. And I knew enough at 35 at the time, 35-ish. I knew enough at the time that significance was the right answer, but I didn't really understand the depth of why that was the right answer. And so Jeannie began to just walk me through how significant leaders really build others around them so they win, understanding Zig Ziglar's quote, if I help enough people get what they want, the people that are around me, and I have a passion and heart to help them grow and mature and become the best version of themselves, I'm ultimately going to win. Where people who chase success, where they chase, you know, money and all the stuff that brings. And there's nothing wrong with all those things. But when you chase that and that is your ending point, what happens is, man, you leave a trail of damage behind you and you tend to use people to get what you want versus helping them become the best version of themselves.
Wow, I really love it. And it's like helping others. You help yourself as well. It's like kind of paying forward kind of thing. Yeah. But it really works for both sides, so it's amazing.
Yeah, it leaves everybody. I say this all the time. There are two different types of people. There are thermometers and there are thermostats. Thermometers are people when you walk into a room of people, or you walk into a conversation, a one-on-one conversation, or an interaction like we're having now. Thermometers are just people who gauge the temperature of the room. But some people are thermostats. They walk in a room. They have the ability to change and set the temperature of that room to whatever they desire it to be because they understand it's not about them. It really, if you make it always about the other person and you make the other person feel amazing, it's like this. Every one of us have an iPhone. Everybody's got an iPhone. And you know, there are times throughout the day when your phone rings and you look down and you see a name on it, you can't wait to answer the call. Because you know, when you get finished with that conversation, dude, you're going to feel like you can, there's nothing impossible. You literally can run through a wall. You're going to feel like $1 million. you're going to feel encouraged. You're going to feel like there's nothing that God's called you to do that you can't do. But there are some phone calls that when you look at them, you're like, yeah, click. You send it to voicemail and you flip the phone face down over on the table. And so I think that, you know, great leaders who want something for people, not from people, they understand that principle of being a thermostat versus being a thermometer.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And my next question would be, I know I've seen it on your Instagram, and also you talk a lot about this, and how do you achieve the dream? What's your best advice?
So I've got a principle that I created about 2 years ago as I went on a weight loss journey. I'm down about 80 pounds in about 2.5 to 3 years. I love to work out. If I miss a workout, it's like my day doesn't go well. I actually got up today. I was working out this morning. Today, I actually got up a little later than I normally do, but I'm usually up at 4 or 5, and I'm either at the 5 a.m. class or the 6 a.m. class. And I usually get more done by 9 a.m. than most people get done almost all day long. But there's a concept that I created a couple, 2 or 3 years ago as I started my health journey and my business journey at the same time. And that concept's called incremental, not monumental. And what it means is small, daily, disciplined decisions over time always equal monumental results. Success cannot escape you when you do the right things every single day. So one of the things that I did a couple of years ago was I created my own planner. I've got a planner, my timeline, my day timer, my notes. And then on the other side of the planner, I've got my quote of the day, my goals, gratitude affirmations, and my top three. That's what I do every morning. And then the second half of the day, this is from yesterday, I do my wins. Where did I win today? Like, where did I win? What was a win for me today? Because what happens, Oli, is a lot of people don't look for wins. They go throughout the day and they're so busy. And what happens subconsciously, when you train your brain to look for wins, it changes your attitude. It changes your perspective. It changes your countenance. It changes your energy. So when you do talk to people on the phone, people want to connect with you because they feel that energy. So you've got your wins. And then how can I get 1% better? What can I do? Yesterday, I wrote mindset. Like, how can I get 1% better today? Because if I get 1% better every single day, that's 365 days. That is 37 times better at the end of the year than I was at the beginning of the year. Goal, second time, I learned this from Grant, one of my real good friends and mentors, Grant Cardone. And then my scoreboard. I've got a scoreboard on every day. How did I live today? I do a scoreboard every single day. How did I live today? And so really, it is that incremental, not monumental. Like, those are principles that I live by. And I've been, the first time Grant asked me to come speak down at 10X headquarters was December the 9th of 2019. It was right before the pandemic. I had just met Grant about 6 weeks before that. My business, I made about $125K the first 10 months of the year. I made $129,000 the last 2 months of the year. Like, my revenue just shot up. Grant heard the story. Part of it was because of him and his advice on a commercial deal that I was dealing. He had me down and he had me speak in front of all of the licensees. I spoke in front of all the licensees, and they had 12 people that they had handpicked from it was Grant's first mentorship program. They had 12 people they had handpicked. So I spoke to the whole team down at 10X headquarters, 170, 180 people, plus those 12. And then they all went to work. The 12 of us stayed there with Grant and Jared and Sherry and Richie and the team. And I shared again in front of those 12. Now, why are you mentioning those 12? Because out of those 12 people, I know every one of them well. I probably maybe two people out of that 12 are still on the same trajectory than they were December of 2019, which is 3 years ago. 3 years ago, about two of those people are on the same trajectory. Some of them, they're flash in the pan. You'll see them. I'm doing a book, or I'm doing a webinar, or I'm doing this. And then you don't hear from them for 6 months. And then they're going to do this thing. And then they're going to do this thing. And then you don't hear from them. Listen, my word for this year is consistency. It literally is incremental, not monumental. Small, daily, disciplined decisions over time, because it takes time to do momentum. People go, Ken, how have you done a Create conference? This is my second year. This is what we're just starting. We haven't even got there yet. Our third year in business at GSD. We've already done 4 or 5 live events. This is going to be my second Create conference. John Maxwell, Ed Mylett, Randy Garn, Amberly Lago, Roya Mattis, Anthony Trucks, Carlos Reyes, Yosef Martin. I mean, the lineup is insane. Gary Brecka, the lineup's insane. These are all my friends. These are all people that are personally close to me. They are. If I pick the phone up, they answer my phone call. Every one of these people are my friends. How did you do that? Because every single day I get up, I am locked in and focused on my goals. I have trajectories every single, I know what I want to do every day. And here's the deal. That's not very sexy. Like, it ain't sexy. People want the, how do I get it quick? Give me the 3-step process. What can I do in 6 weeks? How can I get it done in 2 months or 90 days? The reality of it is you can get some great things accomplished quickly. Listen, we tend to overestimate what we can do in the short term, and we underestimate what we can do in the long term. And this really is a long-term play, and it really is incremental, not monumental. It's the only way I've been able to do what we've done.
That's amazing. That's incredible advice. And all the people that you mentioned, I was like lucky to have on my podcast as well. Mm-hmm. So I know them as well too. And they're so down to earth. Like, mm-hmm. Despite their huge success, they're so down to earth and they're very humble. And incredible lineup you have on the event. So the event will be on January
26th, 27th, and 28th, 2 weeks. We're going to be in Atlanta at the Faith Center in Alpharetta. It's a phenomenal, it's not just an entrepreneur. We've dubbed it the number one entrepreneur conference in the Southeast because it is, but really it's an experience. Like, I mean, literally, and it's not even just the people that are on the stage. I've got Olympic gold medalists that are going to be sitting in the crowd. I've got an 18-year NBA vet, 8-year all-star who will be in the audience. Former NFL, 2-time former NFL head coach, and now a head coach at a D1, who is a friend of mine who will be in the audience. I've got a buddy of mine from Canada who is Forbes magazine top 30 under 30 CEOs in the world who's coming to sit in the audience. My good friend Yosef Martin exited BoxyCharm for over $500 million. Yosef's coming to share on a panel, and he's coming to sit in the crowd. He's coming to hang out and spend time because, listen, the power of relationships is the number one thing that helps anybody. I say this all the time. Proximity is a cheat code. It really is a cheat code to success. And when you're a leader who wants something for people and not from people, listen, I've only got a couple guys out of this whole lineup that I'm paying to come in. Everybody else wants to come in on their own dime and speak on my stage because I built that type of relationship with them. And I also do the same thing for them. Like, if you're having an event and you need me to come in, listen, I'll be there. And when I leave, I told this to Amberly Lago. I'm speaking at her big event in Raleigh, I think in March. It's like the March 9th and 10th. I told Amberly, I said, listen, when I get done at your events, because she's had people come in and speak at her events that try to pitch their stuff and sell their stuff. And you won't get any of that at Create. Nobody does that. What you're going to get is, and I told Amberly, when I leave that stage and I'm done speaking at your event, she's got some pretty big time speakers. They're going to think you are the greatest human being in the world because I'm not there to trumpet what I've done. I'm there to tell you how amazing Amberly Lago is and what an amazing friend and really a sister she is to me and how she's making an incredible impact in the lives of people in the world. That's my role in what I do. And what's going to happen is, again, putting that wanting something for people, not from people. What happens in that, Olya, do you know how many people in that crowd connect with me afterwards? You go, Ken, how do I connect? Ken, how can I come to your Create conference? Ken, how can I join your mastermind? How can I be a part of what you're doing in your community? A lot of people do because it's such a transparent, authentic voice. Because I'm not looking for you to do something with me. I want Amberly, and like in this specific incident, I want her to be the world champ. I want those people that came to her conference to think, dude, you've got some amazing people in your corner that believe and love you and think and believe wholeheartedly that you have the power to go out and make a positive impact for good and help people become the best version of themselves.
Yeah, I love that. That's incredible. And also, before making any serious decision, what should we remember? And I know you talked about this on your Instagram, so just wanted to highlight it.
Yeah, a couple things. You know, any big time decision, I've got a text thread on my phone right now. And my best friend's brother passed away yesterday. And Jeff will be, he'll be one of the guys speaking at my events. I've got four or five guys in my corner, guys like Randy Garn, guys like Vic Keller, guys like Gary Brecka, guys like Jeff, guys like Brian Covey, who's the senior vice president at Revolution Mortgage, one of the top mortgage companies, national mortgage companies in the world. And then my buddy Brent Gove is one of the top EXP guys, has 30,000 agents in his organization. I don't make big decisions unless I run it through those guys. Like, I have the right guys in my corner to go, hey guys, here's what I'm thinking about doing. What are your thoughts? And those guys are, boom, here's, and they'll ask me, Ken, what are your thoughts? What are you thinking about doing? I'll say, hey, here's what I'm thinking through. Here's kind of my thought process on this. And here's a couple, two or three options that I'm thinking, what are your thoughts on this? Because I've got guys who are and have a 10,000 foot view of what's going on in my life. So when I get ready to make a decision, I don't make a decision unless if it's a big decision. I always seek counsel and wisdom from those guys because they've made bigger decisions than I have. If I've got to make an everyday decision, I don't have a problem making a decision. I think one of the things you referred to on my Instagram account was, if you're going to make a decision, you get about 75% sure you want to make the decision, make it, get it done. Sometimes you're going to miss it, but the vast majority of times, you're going to get that decision right. And it's going to help you tremendously by making that decision quickly.
Yeah, that's a great advice. And it's, so our surroundings means a lot, because like people who we are surrounding ourselves with, it's like part of our success. How do you spot a leader?
I tell you some of the things I look for in people, because I lead with my heart. I had Jason Haugen on my podcast earlier today. Jason is 29 years old. Company did over $100 million in sales last year. He's got three jets. I flew on his jet from Ed Milet's house back in, I guess, September, October, we were down there. So I flew back with him to Salt Lake City with Randy Garn, Sean Whalen, my buddy Steve Harward. Who else was on that plane? Ryan Flint was with us. Ryan and him are really good friends. So I flew back on the jet with those guys to Salt Lake City for an event. And when I get around guys like Jason, he's 29. Like, he really renews my faith in what it looks like in the Instagram world to be a leader, because he really is a guy who puts other people's needs before his own. I say this, servant leaders do three things. They put other people's needs before their own. They do things right the first time, and they do things without being asked. So those things, those three characteristics of a servant leader are very important to me. I watch people. I watch, and this is the thing. I watch how people of power and prestige and people that are successful, I watch how they treat people who can't do anything for them. How do you treat the server at the restaurant? How do you treat the person who valets your car?
Well, for me, it's different. I worked at restaurants for 5 years, but I always treat anyone nicely anyway, because right. I respect them for doing services for me and helping me. So
some people don't. Some people don't. So when you ask me, how do I spot a leader? That's one of the things. My good friend John Maxwell says this: if you think you're a leader and no one's following, you're only out taking a walk. Leaders have people behind them who are following them. And if you don't have anybody that's following you, you're not really leading. All you are is out taking a walk, like John says.
Yeah, very interesting. What is your biggest intake on never set a goal before you know this? Like, what should we know before we set any goal?
So I'm probably a little different on this. This is what I learned from Grant. I set goals and I set big goals. I've done this for twice. I learned this from Ron Luce, one of my mentors, 22, 23 years ago. At Harvard Business School, they teach you about BHAGs, big, hairy, audacious goals. You set goals so big. And this is what Ron taught me 20 some odd years ago. He said, it's better to aim for the moon and make it halfway than aim next door and make it. Because what happens is it's called vision. It's called vision. Scripture says that you write the vision down and make it plain so the heralds who read it can run with it. Like, there's something when you take a pen and you take a planner and you start writing vision down, there is a supernatural principle that kicks into place that gets you moving. Not only does it get you moving towards that dream that you've written down on paper, but let me tell you what else it does. It starts attracting the right people that you need in order to see that vision come to pass. And that's huge. So for me, when it comes to vision, man, I'm all about like go after it. When I set my goal of my health journey 3 years ago, I set that goal for 66 pounds. And when I got to 60, I moved it to 86 pounds. When I got to 80, I bumped it out to 106 pounds. That's where I'm going to stop. But I bumped it out to 106 pounds. So the one thing I would say for people is set big goals. Now, people disagree. Brad Lee is a dear friend of mine. And Brad's like, well, if you didn't do it, you failed. I'm like, well, no. I mean, if you set a goal to make $1 million and all you've ever made, the highest you've ever made is 250 and you make five, that's still pretty good. Yeah, but you failed because you didn't make a million. I'm like, well, no, I just don't see it that way. That's the way Brad sees it, and to each his own, right? He's got a bigger podcast than I do, so he can say whatever he wants to say. But, you know, some people are different. And I think, you know, you have to find what works for you. You have to find what works for you. For me, my goals that I write down, three areas, two of my businesses, and then my personal goals. Those are barometers for me that tell me, am I living every single day the way that I need to live in order to accomplish the thing that God's put in my heart?
I always set like big goals and I always try to achieve them. But so many people say, oh, I try to set a huge goal and I didn't achieve it. And it put me down so bad that I don't want to set any goals anymore. And it kind of discouraged me so much. Mm-hmm. In this case, what would you do? And what's the best advice?
That's a mindset issue. And one of the things I teach on a lot is mindset. And we have these things that I call limiting beliefs. And the six most common limiting beliefs that I talk about a lot are fear, insecurity, scarcity, comparison, shame, and success. Like those are the six that we deal with more than anything else. Fear, insecurity, scarcity, comparison, shame, and success. So what happens is when we set goals, these limiting beliefs, they rise up in our minds. Because what we think is what we say is what we do. What we do dictates and determines our destiny and our future. And if you can't get the mind right, so what do we do? So what do I do if I realize, you know what, Ken? I set a goal, but I've got a scarcity mindset. I set a goal to make six figures, and nobody in my family's ever made six figures, and I've got a scarcity mindset. What do? You identify, this is what I teach in my courses, identify, remove, and replace that limiting belief. How do I do that? Number one, gratitude. Through gratitude, I identify the limiting beliefs that are going on in my mind. Through gratitude, how do I remove and replace? I create affirmations that help me uproot that limiting belief of, say, fear or insecurity or scarcity. And I create an affirmation to rewire my thought process and my neural pathways so that I think different and I act different than I did before. So I have five affirmations. Probably one of my main affirmations that I talk about a lot is I will live a life where my heart, my head, and my relationships are in alignment. My heart is where I dream. It's where I paint the picture. It's where like, yes, this is what create's going to look like. This is what the mastermind's going to look like. This is what my relationship with my girlfriend's going to look like. These are what these things look like. My head, unfortunately, is where my belief system is located. So if my belief system is troubled and it's got a lot of limiting beliefs in there, my dreams and my vision are going to trip over my mindset every single day. So if you're in a position to where you don't feel like you want to dream or you don't feel like you have any goals, here's what I would say. You've got some limiting beliefs you've got to deal with. Jump over, grab one of my courses. You can go to growstatdrive.com/challenge. You can do them for free for 10 days. Jump in that course, learn about the mindset, develop some affirmations. I teach you how to create your own affirmations, depending on what that looks like in your mind. So when you do that and you start to begin to identify, again, my affirmation is, I will live a life where my heart, head, and relationships are in alignment. So this is what I found. The relationship component wasn't even in there for the first year or so. But when I started to get my heart and my head in alignment, and I started correcting limiting beliefs through the power of identify, remove, and replace through affirmations and gratitude, what happened was, man, I started to believe some of the things that I was dreaming. They started to come to pass. And when they started to come to pass, guess what then came in my life? the right relationships, because they were like, oh my God, this guy's getting this stuff done like almost in record time. Like nobody does. Nobody starts a coaching business and in 2 years they're in seven figures. Like that's almost unheard of. Like, and that's what we've done. So heart, head, and relationships in alignment.
I totally agree with you. And I use affirmations a lot myself too. They do help me. But sometimes people say affirmations don't work till you work.
That's right.
Don't really believe in them. So in this case, what would you do? What would you say?
So if I asked you this, if I said to you, Olia, what are your goals? Ken, I want to get a six pack. I want to have the best bikini body. I want to go to the W in Buckhead. I want to go to Atlantic Station. I want to go on that rooftop pool, and I want to take my cover up off, and I want every guy in that place to be like, dang, like I want those kind of abs. Perfect. Here's the diet you need to be on. Here's your exercise routine you need to be on. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Guess what? You do this consistently over the next 90 to 120 days, you're going to start to see some results. But nobody works out the first day and then runs in the mirror and looks at their abs and goes, I don't have abs. Well, they don't expect to have abs. They understand that it takes consistency and process. That's where we go right back into incremental, not monumental. Small, daily, disciplined decisions over time always equal monumental results. Success can't escape you when you do the right things every day. It's impossible. When you do the right things every single day, it is impossible for you not to achieve some of the things that you desire to achieve.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And for those who feel overwhelmed and don't know where to start with their goals or their dreams, what would be your best advice?
Man, come to Atlanta, January the 26th, 27th, the 28th, myself, John Maxwell, Ed Milet. You're going to be in the audience hanging out with us that weekend. I mean, it is going to be an unbelievable experience. I was saying this earlier. I've got a live band coming in. I've got some of the best speakers when it comes to your core five, faith, health, relationships, business, and finances. I've got some of the top experts in the world in each of those areas who are also amazing human beings, who are going to come in and pour into all of those entrepreneurs, 200 or 300 entrepreneurs in the room talking about faith, health, relationships, business, and finances. It's growstackdrive.com/create, growstackdrive.com/create. I'm sure you'll link that for us. But listen, you get in there in that room, in that environment, not only are you going to hear from some of the best people in the world, but you're going to meet some of the best entrepreneurs that are in the seats in that room. And I'll say this, one of the first things I'll say on Thursday night as we open up the pre-conference is some of you guys invested $10,000 for a ticket plus travel. You're 12, 13 grand in to come into my event. If you leave here with no less than 5 to 10 brand new phone numbers and relationships, you've wasted your investment. If you think that all you're going to do is sit there and taking notes is great, but all you're going to do is take notes from all these world-class individuals and entrepreneurs and speakers and authors and coaches, and you think it's going to make a difference in your life, it will make a small difference. But if you walk out of this place and you've got 5 to 10 new relationships, my best friend, Jeff, I met him at my conference last year. He bought a $10,000 seat, and he happened to sit right next to me for 2.5 days. We started talking. I realized who he was. Dude, Forbes magazine calls you the Tony Robbins of Persia. Like, dude, you do 20,000 in-person events all over Dubai and Malaysia. Like, bro, you're the real deal. And we are best friends. He lost a family member. The first person he called was me yesterday. You never know who is going to be sitting next to you when you come to any event, especially our event, because we've got a room full of world changers and champions.
Yeah, I'm so excited for this event. Can't wait. And one thing you wish you knew in your 20s, what was it?
I would say, there's so many things flooding in my mind right now. Patience with myself. I would say this. I wish I knew the purpose and the potential that was in my own heart, because I didn't. which is one of my I'm a connector. I have two superpowers. I'm a connector. And my second one is identifying purpose and calling out purpose inside of people, because I see what's on the inside of people. God's given me an unbelievable gift to be able to see that on the inside of people. And when I speak to that purpose, it's like that baby comes alive in people. So I would say, if I had one thing that I wish I knew when I was in my 20s, I wish I understood the power of the potential and the purpose God put inside me.
Wow, and that's incredible. And where can our listeners find you? Your social handles, all the information?
Yeah, at Ken Jocelyn, KenJocelyn on Instagram, at Ken Jocelyn, growstackdrive.com/create is our conference. We've got a mastermind. I've got an unbelievable mastermind, about 50 people in the mastermind. Those people are all 7, 8, and 9 figure earners. I mean, it really is an unbelievable group. Our core 5, faith, health, relationships, business, and finances. It's an amazing, amazing, amazing group of people.
Love it. Thank you so much, Ken. It was a pleasure to have you on my podcast. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise and for being my guest.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And I can't wait to see you in Atlanta in a couple of weeks, girl.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
That was all for today, guys. I hope you really enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Not Basic Blonde podcast is available on all the major platforms with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. To support the show, tag NBB Podcast on your Instagram stories and check out more behind the scenes on Instagram as well at notbasicblonde_ or NBB Podcast. And if you haven't, subscribe, rate, and review Not Basic Blonde podcast on Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much, guys. Have a great day.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.